Some art forms seem so utterly sacred that no one would dare to make fun of them. On the other hand, there's Eugene McDougall. He is general director of Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, better known as the Trox. Welcome, Eugene. It's good to have you with us by phone from Tucson. How are you?
I'm fine. The weather is lovely.
Excellent. Now, you are the mastermind behind Le Ballet Trocadero. Is that correct?
No, I'm just the endurance.
Okay, explain.
Well, in 1974, mm-hmm. three guys, Tony Basset, Nat Taylor, and Peter Anastas, put together this satire of ballet. Came to our theater. I was working at a little off-Broadway theater, wanting someplace to perform. Mm-hmm. This was in 1974 when theater and dance was booming in New York City, and there was no spaces. If you get a small audience into something, you did a performance.
Mm-hmm.
We had a small theater, and we were doing a drama or comedy, mm-hmm. but it was all straight theater rather than dance or music. And we knew nothing about them, but the weekend they wanted to perform, we didn't have anything going, so we said, fine, you put the show together, you do all the advertising, we'll provide a theater and a stage crew and split the box office 50-50. Now, that was for 100 seats at $250 a seat. So that was a vast amount of money to be involved in splitting.
So basically, this was you're talking about the very first performance.
This is the first performance. That's our beginning.
Okay.
And that's when I met the company.
And now, before we go any further, I want to mention that Le Ballet Trocadero will be at McGoffin Auditorium here in El Paso on Saturday, April 13th at 7:30 p.m. Now, how, since that first performance, how have things evolved since 1974?
Well, without any hesitation, I will say we are the most famous drag show in the world. Of course, we're one of the few.
Well, literally, how many others do this type?
I don't know of any other touring company. There have been other touring companies, but, you know, they've fallen by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now 38 years old.
Well, now, drag shows in general can demand a tremendous amount of talent through a broad range of areas. Now, you have 13 dancers currently?
Yes, I think that's it.
Okay. Now, how are these dancers selected? Is it on the basis of their ability to dance? How big an element is the comedic?
Comedy, per se, is not considered when dancers are hired.
Uh-huh.
They are hired on their technical skill.
All right.
They must be able to dance. They must have classical training. They must have stage experience with other companies, and if we're lucky, they're also funny. But we assume that we can teach them the comic element mm-hmm. needed.
So these are not comedians or clowns who just kind of sort of dance a bit. These are professional, super skilled, talented dancers.
Absolutely. They have been in other companies around the world, mm-hmm. and most of them have years of experience before they join us. Sometimes we hire young dancers, say 18 or 20 mm-hmm. age, but often our dancers are in their 30s, say, before they come to the Trocadero. It's a question of their abilities as dancers that is the basis for their being selected.
Yes. And before I go further also, I need to mention that in case anyone hasn't figured it out yet, that this is an all-male dance troupe, however, performing in all-female roles for the most part, except for the one poor individual who gets to lift the other guy occasionally.
That
correct?
What we do, basically, is to take classical ballets mm-hmm. and recreate them for the company, but whatever the role calls for, whichever gender, mm-hmm. that's what they'll do. So there are both males and females dancing on stage, and it's only a technicality, so to speak, that they're all men.
Well, now, speaking of technicalities and technique and a little physiological difference there, what is it like for a man to dance on point?
It hurts.
I suspect it hurts the women, too. But
it does. Everybody who dances on point will complain about that. In fact, we did a TV special with Shirley MacLaine early in our career. And now, Miss MacLaine had been a ballet dancer and trained in ballet, but she hadn't been on point for years when we were rehearsing for the show. And I can remember her standing at the bar practicing going on point and crying.
Yes, yeah. There's an element of masochism in there, I think, when it comes
to
anything for beauty. Except, of course, when it comes to chest hair. You got this little satin top, and I noticed that there's the occasional bit of chest hair. Is that a personal choice?
We make no pretense that the guys are not guys. In fact, in the technical work, they glory in their extra weight, their extra muscle, so that where a ballerina, the poor slender girl, really has to train to be able to whip off 32 fortes.
Yes.
I would say half the company can do it.
These guys are reading a book as they're at it.
Exactly. I remember once we did a gala in Tokyo, and the artistic director, just to show off, put on five pas de deux, all of which required 32 fortes, and put five different pas de deux couples on stage during the gala to show off the technical skills of the dancers.
That's stunning. That is stunning. Well, now, in seriousness, are there any particular challenges as far as, costuming? I know makeup has to be pretty interesting backstage.
Our biggest challenge has always been custom-made toe shoes, because toe shoe companies make toe shoes en masse to sell to ballet companies.
Delicate
little
feet.
Because the girls have small feet, and they're more or less standard. So, but with us, they have to go down and measure their feet, and we have to order the toe shoes special for
imagine.
Yeah,
yes.
For each dancer.
Just curious, what's the cost of a size humongous toe shoe?
I haven't looked at the price this year. I suspect they went up. I think we're getting a discount at $50 a pair.
Wow. Wow. And they're good for how many performances?
The soloist probably only get maybe a couple of performances out of their shoes.
That's what I mean.
But the core, of course, they last longer.
A little bit more. Your choreographers. You have such an extensive repertory. What about your choreographers? How are they selected, and what are their special challenges?
Well, on the whole, we have mined the repertory of Russian ballet because we've concentrated to a great extent on 19th century ballets.
Yes.
We have a number of people who have come in as guest choreographers. The most famous is Makarova, who came in to set Bill Feeds. But others are lesser known. However, the bulk of our current repertoire is done by Elena Kunikova. She lives in New York, but she was a dancer ballerina in Russia with Russian companies, and she's very familiar with the Russian style and the Russian choreography. And she has been instrumental in creating our current repertoire. Many of the works that we're doing, she has staged them for us.
I noticed that you also include a parody of Martha Graham's Death and Entrances. Do you know what pieces you will be performing in El Paso?
Yes. The program is going to be Les Sylphides, A Pas de Deux to be announced, Go for Barocco, Waltz for Gesnacht, and an encore.
And that Go for Barocco is a satire on Balanchine's choreography?
That's right.
You have absolutely no shame, do you? And you're so good at it. My guess.
Oh, yes. Peter Nastas, he was in the company at the time when he is one of the people who started, and he choreographed Go for Barocco early in our history. I think it was in 75. And from the beginning, he got raves about how he really nailed Balanchine's particular points with that ballet.
Well, I cannot wait for this evening to occur. Saturday, April the 13th, 7:30 p.m., Magoffin Auditorium, UTEP's signature series, Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. I have been speaking with the general director, Eugene McDougall, from his home in Tucson. Tickets are available through the UTEP Ticket Center or Ticketmaster. I will see everybody there. Eugene, it's been a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.